Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
All right, buddy, welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast, episode 173. These numbers are stacking up. I'm your host, Spencer, joined, as always, by Michael.
Hello, everybody. I am highly uncaffeinated on chamomile tea and honey right now. Just rolling.
How's your throat feeling? Is it nice?
Well, I hope it sounds better than it feels. We'll see.
All right. We have a lot on the notes. So if we sound a little sped up, that is in post-processing. We hit 1.25%. I'm just kidding. We're not gonna jack around. If you want to follow us on Twitter, the conversation's been happening on Twitter this week. Dang. You can follow the podcast at 23 Personnel. You can follow me at Punts Suck or Michael at Michael_LBK. We basically tag all three accounts and everything we do podcast related. So if you find the podcast, you'll find all of us. You can follow us on Instagram. Haven't been super active on that. I remember how to do the video segments of the podcast on Instagram. It's a lot of work. Work is super busy right now. That little extra post on social was the first thing to get cut.
Hey, you're only one man. It's not your fault.
This is a one-man operation on the social media side of running this podcast. Michael and I were talking about what it would take to run a podcast network. I think we could do it.
Wait. I think you could do it.
But
I don't think I could do it.
This is not something that we're going to take on today. speaking of today, cool enough, I was running around tonight in my 23 Personnel Podcast hoodie. It's a fantastic time to wear it. You can pick yours up if you so choose. One of the most comfortable hoodies I've ever worn. teespring.com/stores/23personnel podcast. It has a hood. You'll never wear it because wearing a hood on a hoodie is almost useless. I would not wear a sweatshirt though. So that's my,
we got some fashion blog takes.
That's
here.
My take on that. Finally, Robro College Tailgate Show, Saturdays 10 to noon. Unless Texas Tech is playing at 11, which, knock on wood, we are two games left on the schedule to be announced. Have not hit an 11 a.m. game yet.
You know what would be a perfect 11 a.m. game,
that
though?
That Kansas game number, yeah. 10.
Oh, that just has 11 a.m. written all over it.
Okay, so we'll talk about that later. Anyways, you can catch us Saturday mornings, 10 to noon on KKAM.com. Talk 1340 and 1340 AM, Talk 1340 mobile app. Or if you're in San Angelo, ESPN 960. Also, I have been filling in, co-hosting with Rob Bro on Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland this week. So I was there Monday, 11 to 1. I'll be there Wednesday, 11 to 1. If you listen this Wednesday morning, check us out. Same station identification I just gave you for the pregame show, 11 to 1 on Wednesday. I'll be there co-hosting with Rob on Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland while Hyatt is on vacation.
I believe he's in scenic Red River, which is personal favorite. Went there a lot as a kid, had some uncles that lived up there. So we never did big time vacations. We just went and visited family. Yeah. But luckily my uncles lived in really cool places.
Yeah. He called us during the show, or, you know, he joined us for a segment on the show. It is a ski resort location, but he said this is not a ski resort time. So he basically has the town to himself, which sounds fantastic. They're getting a little bit of snow. I don't know, it's not perfect. Like, this is a great time to go up into the mountains of New Mexico. Anyways, before we jump into that, before we get into the show, we've got basketball news. We're going to talk about the Big Ten. Oh, not Big Ten. Big 12 preseason poll, the AP preseason poll, a little bit NBA draft for our man, Jamias Ramsey. And then our normal football rotation, the Baylor preview, lots of your questions. As we get into that, guys, as you know, football is back. Full effect. Many teams are on their stuff. It is halfway, at least halfway through the season.
Depending on which conference you're in.
Okay. If you're in the Big 12, you're halfway through. SEC, yes. I think you're halfway through. Big 10, Pac-12, you're just getting started. NFL.
Well, Pac-12 might be halfway through. I don't know.
With as many
might
games.
Might just play two games.
They're getting canceled. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to Bet Online today and use promo code Armchair to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Michael, you ready to talk about basketball?
Yes.
Let's do it. Here comes Stevenson. Spins. Out. And then he's stepped
back by the freshman sensation Smith. Pass over the top. McCormick and the crowd stripped by Owens. Moretti on the run. Bounce pass. Here's Culver.
Evans.
Yes. Game over.
Mooney with a crossover and the lob to Owens.
Now the shot clock is at three. Mooney spins. Fires. Oh! Edwards with a three. Good! What a shot, Kyler Edwards. Moretti double into Tariq. Owens, who puts it down. Moretti. Odiasi. Throws it in. Shot clock down to five. Got the screen. Here's a three. Good!
Culver got the separation. Oh, big shot. Woo! Step it up big time. Dagger.
Culver with the dish.
That's it. There's a new member of the Final Four Club, and they hail from Lubbock, Texas.
All right, Michael, the Big 12 preseason poll has been released. It looks like there are one, two, three, four tiers, basically. If you want to break them down, Baylor and Kansas are picked to finish 1-2 in the league. Baylor with 7 first place votes within the conference. Kansas at 3. Baylor's basically returning everybody from last year, and they were a really good team last year. Kansas is not returning as much, which I think is where Baylor gets the edge. Those two in terms of points for the poll, really close. 79 for Baylor, 73 for Kansas. Then teams 3, 4, and 5 are all bunched up pretty close. West Virginia at 3, Texas at 4, Texas Tech at 5. Then there's a little bit of a gap.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
They're Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are 6-7. And then Iowa State, TCU, Kansas State, no hope.
And we discussed this a little bit last week. The main reason I wanted to bring it up again and just kind of go over that Big 12 preseason poll is we took a little issue with Tech being ranked behind Texas, especially, the argument could be made, okay, maybe West Virginia's better. Texas, we were seeing theoretically that team getting better last year. Tech finished 0-4. I mean, it wasn't great. So we kind of got it. I don't think either of us were too excited one way or the other. But the AP preseason poll came out this week, and it contradicts the Big 12 poll. And I am enjoying this.
So Big 12 poll starts off, AP. You want to do only Big 12 teams in the AP poll?
For now. Okay. For now. We can go through all of it, but since we were just going through. So, okay. Baylor, Kansas, West Virginia, Texas, then Texas Tech. That was the Big 12 preseason poll. AP poll.
Has the same five teams in the top five.
Yes. Or in the top 25.
Well, in terms of the top five Big 12 teams ranked, the AP has those same top five, same five teams. A little different order, though.
Yeah, which I quite enjoy. They agree. Baylor is listed number two
in the country. So high expectations in Waco.
Yes. And just, kind of high expectations for the conference, if that tells you anything as well. Kansas is ranked number six. TTU, that's us.
That's us, Tech.
Texas Tech comes in at number 14 in the country, ahead of number 15 West Virginia, and ahead of number 19 Texas.
Oh, you hate to see it.
Okay. Oh, very interesting.
So Rob and I talked about this on Monday. There was a segment he was doing. What do you believe in? One of the things I said I believed in on a Monday morning was that Texas Tech would finish better than 14th in the country in the 2020-2021 basketball season.
How about that?
I
don't even know if that's a hot take. I think that's I'm on board with that. I would almost not be surprised to see them maybe even fall out of the top 25 at some point and then force their way back in, and then they go to the tournament and wreck shop. And then there's no way to not rank them higher than 14.
Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be enough pre-conference, non-conference games or losses or challenges, at least, to shake your ranking and kind of get you dropping there. Because I know in basketball, even if you win, you can still drop a little bit if you struggle with a team you should not be struggling with, because they've got really strong analytics for teams 1 through 330. And if you struggle with team 330, you're going to tank your ranking. Even if you win the game, it's not the same as like in the college football rankings. Like, as long as you win, you're probably fine. Basketball's like, no, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. You were supposed to blow this team up by 50. You won by five. You don't get credit for winning that game.
Or heaven forbid you took it to overtime.
No. I don't know if they drop out non-conference wise. You will have some tough games in non-conference. You've got Houston, St. John's, and then at LSU is the three toughest non-conference games, at least in my mind. Houston and St. John's are back-to-back in terms of games on the schedule. I don't think you lose both of those, but if you do, there's where you could drop out of the rankings. But with how strong the conference is, schedule too, you bounce right back into your conference schedule with Kansas. If you're unranked because of your non-conference schedule, you've got plenty of opportunity to make up for it. But yeah, Texas Tech 14, West Virginia 15, Texas 19. Very much like the Big 12 poll, all three of those teams really close together in those points. And then obviously the AP agrees. I mean, all you know, three of those within five spots of each other in the country top 25. Any other thoughts?
No, that was really the main thing I wanted to point out, aside from, you know, I thought maybe just the overall top five real quick. Number one, Gonzaga. Two, Baylor. Three, Villanova. Four, Virginia. And five, Iowa. Maybe I've slept too much since then, but I don't remember being that high on Iowa last year. And I did Tech not play Iowa at some point?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that there was one of those that they were one of those teams you played early on where you had those three losses in a row.
It was around Thanksgiving, and I think it was an overtime game. I remember having to watch it on my phone while we were in Florida visiting in-laws. I mean, we had a great time. It's not like this was this horrible thing to have to do, but that was just the best way to watch it and not hog the TV for, you know, the entire family.
Well, also non-conference basketball for college, at least, is you got to get some creative subscriptions to follow your team. Even a team that's, you know, like top 25 Texas Tech, you're like, all right, who carries FS4? Right. Which pay-per-view service I need to pick up for the weekend? I mean, it's almost like college baseball where you have to pick up Flow Sports for a tournament. Anyways, I'm excited for the basketball season coming up. I mean, we're within 2 weeks now. Sneaking up on us, I think, is because they're just, it's a little delayed. Everybody's kind of like all in on football. Then basketball's going to be here. It's like, oh yeah, the football team's still playing.
Yeah. Well, it'd be even, I think we'd feel that way even more because they technically should be starting next week or this week.
I think most years they have started, you know, at least first half of November. So.
And Tech did play Iowa last year and lost 72-61, and it was in late November.
Yeah,
but I can't remember how Iowa ended on the year, and I don't feel like looking that up right now. Sorry, guys. Y'all have Google too.
Yeah, I don't know enough about Iowa. The other four all make sense. Especially, I mean, where Baylor may not make sense to a lot of people, having seen them up and close all year, yeah, it makes sense.
Oh, my gosh. It would be a two. Yeah, it totally makes sense.
And then you've got typical power basketball programs, at, you know, in Gonzaga and Villanova and Virginia. Interestingly enough, like Kentucky and Duke, I think are like 9-10, which would feel low on a other year. But like you look at the rest of the top 10, like I don't know where you'd move them. Anyways, NBA draft is next week, Michael.
Yes.
Jamyus Ramsey.
I've seen some not great things. Some not great things about our guy.
Conflicting reports.
Not a lot of high marks for Ramsey, and that, you know, I'm not saying it with tongue in cheek or anything, because it's, you don't want that for your guy no matter what, but it doesn't surprise me too much based off what we saw firsthand for the course of his first year.
Yeah, so there was one I guess writer that was projecting he could go undrafted.
Wow.
You know, it was like he was like ranked as like the like in the low 40s. Or I don't know. It was low. Other ones have them, you know, a handful of them going toward middle end-ish of the first round. I think the highest I've seen is 20th to Miami. I think that'd be a great fit. Go play for the Heat. 24th to the Bucks. If Giannis is still there, go eat, man. Oh. The Knicks? No. Don't go to the Knicks at 27. I don't know enough about the Toronto roster at 29. But if Ramsey does go in the first round, this will be Texas Tech's third first round pick in a row. Going back to Zaire Smith, Jarrett Culver, and then Jamyus Ramsey.
Zaire Smith, a guy that we inexplicably forgot his name last week for about 30 seconds, and it was crucial, or it was, Oh gosh. I can't even say words. It was just that bad. I still feel bad about it as I brought it up.
In processing the podcast before I posted, I almost cut out all that silence, but I didn't. I was like, no, I'm transparency here. We forgot the man's name, Zaire Smith.
Yes. No excuse. We just did. It was brain fart.
So I said it before. I think I'm looking forward to basketball more than I ever have this season. Michael, where are you at with basketball?
Man, I don't know if I can say that because I was really looking forward to it last season. I mean, I'm not trying to cop out, but that's why I was laying in bed in the dark by myself watching a Iowa Texas Tech game, in late November last year on my phone. So I was really looking forward to it last season. I probably am about on par with that, if that makes any sense. I've been pretty jazzed about it the last couple of years, but I'm not saying I'm let down, but I think I'm approaching this season maybe not quite as excited just because I'm trying to temper my expectations just a little bit. Because last year, although they played well and they probably played about like I thought they would, I felt sort of disappointed kind of with how it ended on that 0-4 stretch and losing to OU, who was not very good, and then putting up great fights against Kansas and Baylor. And you just kind of think, oh man, well, where was that team 2 weeks ago or a week ago? So anyway, I am very excited, but this is not the most excited I've been.
Yeah. I also I just think back to previous years where basketball is starting, the back third or back quarter of the football season. You're just like, we'll get to basketball in a minute, right?
Yeah.
And now we're like,
hold on, everybody.
We're like, we'll get to football when we've got time. Basketball's here. Kansas, I know how you feel.
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, they're playing UTRGV. I don't even know what that is. It's fine.
The Vaqueros.
But Tech is going to Arlington to play Baylor this weekend, or whatever it was a couple of years ago. So yeah, quite a turnaround now where we're aching for basketball to be starting any minute and as fast as they possibly can.
For sure. With that though, Michael, let's do our football segment. Baylor preview, all the great things that we do with football. Let's do it.
Ready.
He is back to pass, pressured immediately, kind of flings it up there. He's stopped up in the air and intercepted. Oh, he hit the upright again. He missed it from 19 yards.
Welker takes it at the 11. He's going to try to get to the right sideline, breaks the tackle. He's got running room at the 30, the 35, 40. He's the midfield, the 45, 40. He may go. 10, touchdown Red Raiders!
Davis Webb, the freshman, screen underneath Derek Moore, breaks the tackle, still running up the sideline, turns on the juice, touchdown!
So Harrell in the shotgun from the 28. The throw goes to the right side for Crabtree, it's caught.
He plays. Oh, he's the worst!
Touchdown Red Raiders!
Unbelievable!
Touchdown Red Raiders! Michael Crabtree has done it.
Let the scoring begin.
Roster updates. We've got two big ones. And I don't know how I feel about either one of them. Matt Wells announced on Monday that he is going to make a change at place kicker. Going to go with Jonathan Garibay in place of Trey Wolf. Garibay is a... he's a redshirt junior, junior college transfer that came in last year, redshirted last year, previously played for Riverside Community College out there in California, is a California native, has not kicked for Tech yet. I hate to say it almost, but like it can't get worse. I don't think, yeah. Knock on wood. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm not going to pile on Wolf. We saw how good he was last year. I don't know what happened. So I'm not going to pile on because we saw how good he could be.
For sure.
But, I am a little nervous with Garibay. His only entrances into the games were two kickoffs versus Oklahoma and three last week at TCU, which, to be honest with you, I did not notice.
I didn't even know. No, that's good.
But I looked that up just to see if he had any stats, if he'd happened to randomly attempt one last year and we didn't know. But yeah, the only time he played was this year versus Oklahoma and TCU. So at least he has been in the game. He had a couple of touchbacks. How about that? One went out of bounds against TCU. So that's not great. But kickoffs are obviously a completely different science than field goals. And I think I'm with you. Let's give him a shot. Let's see how he can do.
You've got like five place kickers on the roster. It's like, let's try somebody out.
Sure. Try somebody else. And the thing that Wells mentioned, which is very critical, I think at least two of Wolf's kicks were in the red zone. And that is that should be at least better than 50%.
Yeah.
Even for college kicker scenarios. I mean, I think you should be in the 70s or so if you're kicking a field goal in the red zone.
I love how almost universal it is for people to pile onto college kickers, but I'm here for it, man. They are some of the most inconsistent position groups out there. All right. So strange news broke. Was it Monday morning that linebacker?
Sunday morning.
You're right. Linebacker Brandon Boyer Randall was arrested for evading police in a watercraft. We're like, what? What were you doing?
Oh, we had so many theories because we thought, well, one, what are the logistics of this? did this actually happen today, or was it a thing like the street racing deal where it happened in June and then the warrant was issued and then they executed it Sunday morning? And because you're thinking, gosh, when was the fastest they got back from TCU last night at 10 maybe? And then who goes and finds a boat between the hours of 10 and 8 a.m. and
gets in enough trouble to attract the attention of the police and then try to evade them.
And then evades them in said watercraft?
No, ends up being in a Cadillac. I don't know how that got mistranslated.
It must have been a code thing, like it's a code whatever. And so because it was on the arrest report, I think, the official thing from LPD said evading police in a watercraft. So I think they coded it incorrectly and then it got out and then they had to release it. I think they released this yesterday.
Yeah. And as silly as all that sounds, when the more detailed police report from the arresting officer came out, you're like, ooh.
Yeah. There's nothing silly about what actually happened. Yeah.
So I'm going off memory here, but I think there was a call into the police that there were two individuals threatening people, and one of them was alleged to have a gun. The police arrive. It was at a restaurant just off the South Loop. Boyer Randall gets into his car. The police officer says, you know, I turn my lights on. He makes eye contact. He pulls into a spot. Because of the report that the officer had of there possibly being a gun, he came out of his patrol car with his weapon drawn, not pointed at Randall, but he was ready if he needed to get there. Boyer Randall was not cooperating or not obeying police orders, and then put his car into reverse and backed into the police car. Which is where they got the evading piece of it, because the car was in park. He was not obeying the orders and then put his car into gear and tried to leave. So I don't want to speculate, but plenty of things could have been going on. None of them good. I don't know how you see him coming back to join the team, because some of those are very serious charges.
Yes. I'm sure they probably have some sort of rule about where you can and cannot go, or, I mean, even just the team rule, because Wells seems to be a stickler for team rules. And I'd imagine that one of them is don't be at a place getting breakfast after a long night at 6 in the morning causing trouble or something, you know? So I'm with you. It's serious allegations, serious actions, and I have not seen exactly what has what decision has been made. The only thing I saw was on his Monday press conference where he basically just said that they're trying to figure out all the facts themselves and discuss things with Hoka and figure out exactly how to handle it. But I'm with you. I mean, Boy Randall's been a contributor to the team, obviously, but that may have been the last game we saw him play this year.
Yeah, he did play against TCU Saturday evening. So we'll look to hear more from that. Tragic number update. Texas Tech continues to add to that loss column. 3-12 versus Big 12 opponents under Matt Wells. Winning percentage dropped to 0.25%.
It's an even number. It's a nice round number.
Yeah, because like last time was like 273 or something. I don't know.
Wait. It's just 25%.
Yeah.
Not 0.25%. It's not that bad.
Sorry.
Oh my goodness.
So it's,
can you imagine if our winning percentage was 0.25?
Bad. That would have been bad. I mistyped that. 25% of all Big 12 games that Matt Wells has coached, he's won. No way of saying that.
That's the bright side. That's one way to word that.
75%. No, I don't want to go that way, but yeah, it's not looking good. You know what we haven't heard, though, a lot of this week, as much as we did last week after Oklahoma, is rumors or people being even more fired up, enraged, and wanting to fire Wells. There were a lot of rumors following the Oklahoma game of big money donors ponying up their cash. I'm like, I'm ready to pay, donate my money to the school, the athletic department, to cover the buyout of one Matt Wells. I have not heard as much of that talk this week as I did last week. Have not heard a lot of Art Briles talk this week like we did last week. Which I don't know if they're just people are numb to it, or if more people understood where he was coming from on the field goal, or just gave him a pass, or just like, I don't know. Anyways, that's where I was.
Yeah, I haven't seen as much. I've seen a lot of just regular folks calling for his head after the second and fourth thing, but I haven't seen as much scuttlebutt of the people that write the checks and stuff trying to persuade Kirby to call it good.
Yeah, and I'm one of those regular folks. So
you're just folks, just like us.
Yep.
I have a secondary update.
Okay.
It's good. And it shouldn't surprise anybody, but Texas Tech, okay, last week I think they were 99th out of 104 teams that have played. Well, this week, 123 teams have played. Welcome back, Pac-12. Most of you, Pac-8. 123 teams have played. Texas Tech is 109th with passing yards allowed per game at 301 yards per game. Last week, it was 339 yards per game. So a huge drop in the average.
So what happens when you only allow 73 passing yards?
Yes, they held TCU to less than 100 yards passing. No touchdowns, passing touchdowns at all. Duggan was 11 for 23, sub 50% completion percentage, and had a pick. And he was sacked 3 times. So way to go, Texas Tech secondary. Way to go, defensive line, especially without Eli Howard and a couple other starters in there. Really kind of slowly but surely, it's taken 6 games, but Tech's kind of getting away from that 500-something they allowed the first game. Yeah.
So actually, Rob Bro talked me into praising the defense and their performance against TCU more than I had thought about it. And he said, well, look at this. You let TCU start 5 drives inside of your 40-yard line. They had less than 40 yards to go to score a touchdown. 5 drives. You only allowed 13 points, 2 field goals, and a touchdown. I was like,
well, and on top of that, their last 2 trips in the red zone, they came away with 0 points. It was a blocked field goal and a turnover on downs.
Yeah.
I mean, great defense. or about as good as you could expect. The obvious, and this seems to always happen every time we talk about the defense, they give up some huge play in the fourth quarter. Well, that happened right after second and four. So that was going to happen at some point, but up until then,
yeah,
they'd really held their own.
And the other thing, like looking or talking about that big play, that big rush play from Dugan Duggan running 81 yards. Now it's revisionist, but if you were to take away, they had two rushing plays of 70 yards or more. If you take away those rushing plays, you gave up 70 yards through the air and 150 yards on the ground.
Incredible. I mean, you would win in almost every game if you did that.
So you had issues with allowing a big play at the wrong time and special teams, which is
yes,
the dead horse that we will continue to destroy in the corner of the room. The defense, I think, played better than I remembered it, which happens when you lose a game and you give up big plays when you did. But when you hold a team to 13 points on five drives that start 39 yards or closer away from the end zone, I mean, I don't want to take away from the performance here and say, well, it was the TCU offense wasn't very good. But had you allowed Oklahoma to start five drives within the 40 yard line, they would have scored five touchdowns on you.
Well, we know that for a fact. They would at least score three in a row.
And I would say, like, teams like, unlike West Virginia's level, like wherever they fall in the conference, West Virginia better. So West Virginia, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Texas, Oklahoma, all those teams, you give them those same, had Tech done that when they played them, those same circumstances, those teams would have scored on you five times because your defense just wasn't there. They were there in Fort Worth. And I would say that they played well enough to win. Had your offense been a little more efficient, up to snuff, and you didn't give up the like two back breaking plays on defense, or if you had more consistent special teams play or a coach that didn't call for a field goal on second down. All right. That's all I want to say about TCU. I've talked about that for like 4 days now and I'm sick of it.
You're just done. I don't blame you.
Top 25 AP, top 25 poll updated. Clemson losing to Notre Dame. Wow. Fall all of three spots. I mean, this was essentially a playoff game in the middle of the season. At the very least, a conference championship game because the ACC, this game may be a rematch. Notre Dame and Clemson here in a few weeks. Alabama slides up to number one. Notre Dame jumps into that number two spot. Ohio State, perfect 3-0 at three. Then there's Clemson, Texas A&M, Florida. Your Cincinnati Bearcats drop a spot because A&M jumps into the top five. Cincinnati goes from six to seven. BYU moves up to eight. Miami at nine. Indiana pulls off another victory and moves into the top 10. They defeated Michigan for like the first time in like 30 years. it was a sad stat to see.
Yeah, it was a handy victory. And if you remember, I picked them in our picks.
You did.
I've got a feeling about Indiana this year. Why not?
And I picked for the khaki boys.
yes, you did. That was exactly what you wrote.
Oregon 11, Georgia 12. They've lost and dropped big. They went from fifth to 12th. Wisconsin did not play. They had their game canceled. 13th. Oklahoma State 14. My Coastal Carolina Chanticleers holding steady at 15, 7-0. Marshall at 16. Iowa State 17. Oklahoma 18. SMU. USC, Texas, Liberty moves up another few spots after taking down Virginia Tech. Did you see that game?
No, I just saw the score though, and I just couldn't believe it.
If Hugh Freeze is available, and his only mark against him is he paid players, he cheated. I mean, if you're talking about moral police and relativism, when you talk about Coach Art Briles, give me Hugh Freeze every day of the week.
Well, he also coaches at Liberty. I mean, that's kind of a...
Well, that's because he was untouchable.
That's questionable. That's a questionable life decision, too.
Northwestern 23, Auburn 24, Raging Cajuns break back into the top 25 to round it out. North Carolina also receiving votes. Handful of other teams. Boise State dropped big after losing to BYU. There was like a three-point game on the from Vegas, and BYU beat him by like 37.
Oh yeah, it was kind of not quite the same, but that Florida trounced Georgia, if I remember right. That was the other thing that I thought, oh, I'm going to check the score on that because I couldn't remember what time of the game was, and thought, oh my God, it's over. I didn't know. Whoa. What happened?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Big 12 recap this weekend. Everybody played. West Virginia almost pulls out the win in Austin. Longhorns win 17-13. I've got another. I watched the first few minutes of this game. West Virginia continues to be an enigma. I don't know what they are. It's strange. Like
that Texas
they,
either.
That they lose at Texas Tech, then they come and beat Kansas State big, and then lose close to Texas. Anyways, Kansas with what maybe like if you were generous had a walk-on team go into Norman to take on Oklahoma, lose 62-9. I have a hot take about that here in a few minutes. Oklahoma State makes the comeback to defeat Kansas State 20-18. At one point, Kansas State was up 12-0. They had two field goals and a touchdown where they went for a two-point conversion and failed. They would attempt another two-point conversion that would have tied the game with like 2 minutes to go. Oklahoma State was able to stop them there. And then our next opponent goes into Ames. Baylor takes on Iowa State and loses 31-38.
I've got some takes on this, but I'll save them till later. I'll just say that score is deceiving.
No, it is way too. I watched the highlights of this game. And I was like, how? How did they get to this score? And it made sense afterwards. Because
it makes sense later, yeah.
Like, when we go through the Baylor preview and the stats, we're like, this is strange.
How did this team hang with Iowa State in Ames? And we're on the cusp of a game-tying touchdown with a minute left.
How'd this team make that weird comeback against TCU when they were down by 30?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I have two hot takes for you, Michael. One is a repeat from last week. Kansas is better than Tech. This is the second week in a row that they have played a common opponent with Texas Tech and performed somewhat better than Tech did.
They didn't.
Kansas gave up fewer points to Oklahoma than Texas Tech did.
They gave up the exact same.
But they did it on the road with a MASH unit.
Texas Tech lost a mere 62-28, whereas Kansas lost an embarrassing 62-9.
Well, like I said, they had nobody on the field.
I will say this, that I did consider, you know, we've talked about OU's just little 42-0 run during the game here in Lubbock. Kansas only allowed a 31-0 run.
Well, there you go.
To start the game. So I mean that is a point in your favor, to be honest. And so, and then the bad news is they allowed another 31-0 run after they scored a field goal.
Wow. So they had two 31-point runs.
Yeah. It was 31-0. Kansas kicked a last second field goal, made it 31-3 at halftime, and then it got up to 62-3.
Ooh.
And then Kansas apparently scored a touchdown in the garbagest of garbage times to make it. Let me see. 62-9. Yeah.
Did they miss the PAT or did they go for two?
I don't know. I can't see that with what I'm looking at, but that was not how I thought this game went. I just assumed it was three field goals, but sure enough, last touchdown was as time expired.
So do they even allow them to try the PAT? Like, it doesn't even matter. I don't know.
It. Maybe not. It was a 20-yard pass from Miles Kendrick. It was a 15-play, 75-yard drive. 7:50 off the clock.
Neither one of those teams were like, let's just end this.
Anyway, okay.
Okay,
back
so
to your point.
Hot or
no,
cold?
No, they're not. That's cold.
Cold?
That's okay. Cold. They're not better.
Rob Bro said, give me College Game Day signs if the game were, or College Game Day signs about the Texas Tech Kansas game. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed yours. Yours was what? Yours said what?
Okay. For those of you who've seen The Office, you've seen the banner that I think Dwight made for, I don't remember whose birthday it was.
Kelly.
Okay. It's for Kelly's birthday. And it's like an old school dot matrix banner. That's basically 5 8.5 by 11s posted together. And it says in all caps, it is your birthday, period.
It's a statement of fact.
And my thought was, well, the sign for this game would just be, it is technically football, period.
Yeah. That was a good one. I really enjoyed it. There's another one that said, we thought this was basketball. I've thought about mine for a while now. I still can't figure out how I'd get it into a, you know, a clever sign, but basically saying that what you're about to watch is the football equivalent of an own goal in soccer, which is where you score against yourself.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know. Other hot take or
I'm
other
ready.
Take. Iowa State will win the Big 12. Would you like to hear their remaining schedule and the remaining schedule of the second team in the conference?
Yes.
Okay. So Iowa State's remaining schedule is home versus Kansas State, on the road at Texas, home versus West Virginia. Not all that scary of a schedule, if you ask me.
All very winnable, and that would, they're 5-2 right now, so that would put them at 8-2.
Yeah, and they're 4-1 in conference play.
Could possibly meet. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I forget they. I don't know why I thought that. Oklahoma State's 5-1. Or no, they're just 5-0 in conference play, aren't they?
No.
They're 4-1 in conference play. 4-1. Yeah, okay. Anyway, all that to say, I'm with you on it. I think it's kind of hot takey because Oklahoma State might just kind of be the favorite right now. And a win in Austin for Iowa State's probably not a guarantee because, you know, refs
sure
have it out for the Cyclones whenever they play Texas.
So
let's just throw that out there, even though I'm sure someone's like, oh, come on, that's not real. Like, oh, it may not be, but sure, it sure is strange.
They have sure a solid schedule, I would say. The Kansas State game could be pretty good. The West Virginia game could be a pretty good game. West Virginia, Iowa State. And then Texas, I think, is a little bit of a wild card. Like, what's going to happen down there in Austin? Now, I still like that schedule better than Oklahoma State, who is second in the conference. Their remaining schedule, they have to go to Oklahoma, home versus Texas Tech, at TCU, at Baylor. So I would say three of Oklahoma State's final games, they're all weaker than any of the games in Iowa State's schedule, but they've got three of their four games on the road.
Yes, and Matt Wells has never lost to Oklahoma State.
Undefeated.
People forget that. People forget that. So that's got to factor in. The thing with Texas, I was kind of looking at this earlier, they only have one game where they won. One of their wins was more than a touchdown, a single score, and that was against Baylor. They, I mean, one conference game. They beat the tar out of UTEP. Who cares?
Lost
to Tech, barely beat Tech 63-56 in overtime. Lost to TCU by two. Lost to OU in what, double or triple overtime?
That's at least double.
53-45, so lost by eight. Beat Baylor 27-16, a paltry 11 points against one of the worst teams in the conference at home. Went on to barely beat Oklahoma State in overtime and then just hung around and barely beat West Virginia. I mean, every single game they've been in but the Baylor game in the Big 12 conference was within one score. So the back to what you're saying, Iowa State could do it. And the team that I saw play Tech was very good. Of course, there's quite a few teams that play Tech that look really good.
They all do.
And, you know, we'll get to this a little bit more in the preview, but for the second half, the team that I saw playing Baylor looked unstoppable.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, I Iowa State only has three games left. Now they're like versus, let's say like 3, 4, 5 in the conference. Whereas Oklahoma State has four games left and it's like a 3, 6, 8, 9 type schedule. And like I said, the three games on the road, you know, two of them are TCU Baylor. Like again, who are you going to get? The Bedlam game on the road in Norman's going to be difficult. Does Texas Tech figure anything out? I don't know. Doubt it, but it's still a game they have to play. Whereas Iowa State's already done that. So Iowa State will win the Big 12. You say that's a,
I say it's a hot take just because I think it's a good take, if that makes any sense.
I mean, is the number one team in the conference winning the conference a hot take? I don't know. It's just, we're predicting that that's most likely to happen. How about that?
There you go.
All right. This weekend's Big 12 schedule is boo-boo. TCU on the road at West Virginia, Baylor on the road at Texas Tech. Where's everybody else?
I don't know.
They're at home taking a nap. Dude.
But you know what? Did you know that the wait is finally over, Spencer?
What? It is?
The wait is finally over. Football, the sport that we love, is in full effect. With many teams strutting their stuff, you might not be at a game this year. I don't know. I went to Irish almost there. It wasn't intentional. But you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today. Use promo code armchair. That's right. The thing I'm sitting in right now. Use promo code armchair to take advantages of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Look at Michael getting spicy.
Mm.
All right, listen up, fellas, because today, which I feel like we've said that a lot, we have a new Manscaped product alert. Manscaped just released the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer. Take a look in the mirror and I guarantee you'll see hair sticking out of those holes. It's time to keep your ear and nose hair looking as nice as your clean shaven body. Manscaped is forever changing their grooming game with their Weed Whacker. Nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin safe technology, which is a good place to be skin safe. You don't want to be ripping hairs, cutting skin, nicking all that stuff up inside your nose or ear. Premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. If that isn't the marketingist lingo, synergistically written power statement,
it's poetry.
It is. The
in
thing
motion.
Is, it is poetry in motion, very nicely done. It's intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience, and it is waterproof, which means for easy operating and cleaning. Check out all of Manscaped's great products at manscaped.com, including this weed whacker, the lawnmower 3.0, the nails kit, their testy toner, the deodorants, the...
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Underwear, all the other accessories that would go with your trimmers, and manscaping routine. Guys, 20% off free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code armchair. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds. All right, Michael, Baylor yes. Preview. Baylor is a paltry 1-4.
Yes, and I don't know why. I have no idea why I didn't know that that was the case. I had no idea that they'd only won one game, and then they'd lost four in a row, and their one win. Who was their one win to?
The Jayhawks.
Kansas. So, you know, Rob was really trashing Baylor last week on the show, and I didn't really quite get it. I do now. I do get it. They appear to not be very good. They can't get a lot of points on the board. Their defense is playing well, or decent. But yeah, I mean, they're only win was against Kansas, 47-14. Lost to West Virginia, 21-27. Lost to Texas, 16-27. Lost to TCU, 23-33. Lost to Iowa State last week, 31-38. And that game was not as close as it sounds, as we've said. They haven't won a game, guys, since September.
Yeah,
and it was against the worst team in the conference.
Now, this is the definition of cherry picking stats. If you take out their 47 points versus Kansas, they've only scored 30 points once. They average something in the low 20s. I think even with the Kansas, even with the Kansas score, it works out to like 23 or 24 points. Without it, it's like 20 or 21. So I don't know their offense. As excited I was going into the season about Larry Fedora, Chaz, Charlie Brewer, their running backs, which have it's all over the place. They're just not as good offensively as I was expecting. They put up only 4.5 yards per play. They rush the ball for, 45% of the time. They have
it's about what you expect out of a Baylor team. I mean, I know it's an entire new staff, but they're pretty even.
Yeah. They have a completion percentage just under 62%, 33% on third down conversions. They do score 72% of every red zone trip or dripping in the red zone. They're coming away with points, 72%, as opposed to Texas Tech's 68. Whereas Texas Tech has 5.3 yards per play. Like I said, Baylor's 4.5. Completion percentage is pushing up there with Columbia going in, 64%. Texas Tech does convert more third downs, almost 37%. And then the red zone scoring, this is terrible. You're only at 68%.
Yikes.
Defensively, you're pretty close. They give up 5 yards a play. You give up almost 6. Completion percentage, you both allow 64 or 65%. They allow 35% third down conversions. You allow 41. Red zone scoring, they give up 81%. Your 91% is actually an improvement to what it was.
It is an improvement.
Yes. So defensively is that their strong suit is more on the defensive side of the ball. This is one of those games where like, it could be low scoring and it's so strange. When we talked about last week, when we talked about a few minutes ago about how it was so strange to see Baylor put up 31 points versus Iowa State, is because they did it with like 3 non-offensive touchdowns.
Right? Yeah, Baylor, okay, this game is so weird. In a game that Baylor scored 31 points, they rushed for 71 yards.
Which is
as a team
not unusual against Iowa State. But
somehow they scored 31 points. You're thinking, how the hell did they do that?
But Texas Tech rushed for something like that and put up 15 points.
Yeah, so in the first half, Brock Purdy, because it's no longer Brocktober, we're in Brovember or whatever we want to call it, threw for 3 interceptions. One of them was a pick 6. Somehow, because of that, Baylor didn't even punt until the third quarter. And then when they did, the punt was muffed and they recovered it in the red zone. So, at one point, Baylor was up in this game solely because of turnovers. I think they ended up plus 2 on the day, but they had 4 turnovers. They were up 24-10. Then Iowa State decided, you know what? We're going to quit turning the ball over and went on a 28-point run. And that was it. Now Brewer, they were driving at the end of the game. Charlie Brewer had a chance to tie the game or at least get a touchdown to go for the extra point to tie the game. at 38-31 there and threw a pick in the end zone. Just soul crushing.
Oh, it was ugly too. I was like, what are you throwing to, man?
Yeah. I mean, I think the main thing to glean from that is the only way that game was close was just because of turnovers. And I'm not thinking that Baylor created those turnovers, as I just think Purdy made some bad decisions based off the throws I saw, the angles I saw. And of course the muffed punt, that's just, that can happen to anybody. That happens to Tech all the time. On top of that, something that Tech could take advantage of, it looks like Baylor runs the same damn punt formation that we do. And Iowa State blocked a punt so badly that the punter, he like received the ball. He'd had to dodge one guy who was going to block it the first time and then kind of turn into try to do a rugby kick just to get it out of there. And then a second guy showed up and blocked that one. So maybe Tech could take advantage of that, but I mean, I don't know. I think that the main thing to look for is if Brewer's able to connect with RJ Snead, it may be a long day. The kid's nuts. Did you see the one-handed catch he had last week?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh man. I have no idea how he grabbed that, but I mean, he's got what, 21 receptions,
23,
right at, yeah. Okay. It is 23, right at 300 yards, almost 13 yards per catch. Only two touchdowns though. So I think he's just a really talented receiver. So I think that's the guy to really look out for.
Yeah. So their second leading receiver is a running back, Tristan Ebner, 17 catches, 220 yards, very close to 13 yards per catch, two touchdowns. And then, I mean, they have a couple guys with 100 yards receiving. Like there's not much. But it does look like once they get down towards the red zone, they're looking for their big tight end, Ben Sims. He has 8 catches on the year. 3 of them are touchdowns.
Ben T.D. Sims.
Rushing, Craig Williams is their leading rusher. 26 carries, 197 yards. 7.6 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. I caught a little bit of a Baylor preview. Williams may actually be injured and out, which means it's back to John Lovett and Tristan Ebner. They have a combined 200 rushing yards between them and 2 touchdowns.
Man. Yeah, it's if he's hurt, then it sounds like they're... production's going to go down quite a bit. I did want to mention one other thing. Defensively, Iowa State, you know, Brock Purdy is not a rushing quarterback, but I would put his rushing ability on par with Henry Columbia.
Sure.
Would you kind of agree with that?
Yeah.
Purdy was able to make some big scrambles. He had one for 29 yards and he went 5 for 55 on the day. So he averaged 11 yards per carry, and they were just, you know, the guys were covered. The pocket kind of fell apart and he just tucked it and ran. They weren't designed plays or anything like that. So maybe, and hopefully that's something that this offensive staff could take advantage of against Baylor. It seems like it might be open here and there.
Yeah, so Craig Williams injured, out for the season. That was announced yesterday, as well as linebacker Terrell Bernard. Both of those players are out for the season, the remainder of the season.
That's too bad. I mean, I hate to hear that about anybody.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to say Bernard is a Big 12's leader in tackles. So a big piece to their defense. And Williams was, like I said, the rushing leader on the offense.
Speaking of offense, is Charlie Brewer any good? Do you know?
Charlie Brewer? I don't remember the order. And I should probably start having all these references to another podcast that probably nobody else listens to. I don't know. He completes 61.5% of his passes, 6.5 yards per attempt, 11 touchdowns to 5 interceptions.
Ooh, that's not a good ratio.
I mean, barely better than 2-1. Anyways, so the line in this game was strange. Like when it first came out, Texas Tech was favored by 2.5 or 3 points, which was shocking to me. I was like, what? And then I was doing some more research into Baylor. I was like, I guess I can see it. And then today I talked myself into a Texas Tech win today.
Whoa, I know. What? Hey, buddy. What are you doing? What are you doing over there?
You know, I look back at our, you know, you and I, our record picking games this year. We're both 6-1 when we pick Texas Tech games.
Yeah. Back in what, late August or early September, just straight up wins.
Yeah. It's not against the spread. I'm terrible against the spread.
Yeah, me too.
I incorrectly picked the Kansas State game. I thought it was going to be a win. Michael got that as a loss. I correctly picked TCU as a loss. Michael thought that was going to be a win. Preseason, we both picked a loss versus Baylor. We were a lot more apprehensive about what kind of Baylor team was going to be.
And I was so wrong. I was
seven games in. Yeah, I was like, I was expecting a lot more from Baylor. It's not a game where I think you can just waltz in and win this thing easy.
I'm sure you're not. Yeah.
So in using Michael's method here, Michael's method, I like that alliteration. I went back and looked at all of Baylor's games. And because I don't think we're Kansas, I think I threw their score out. Baylor only scores 21 points per game, which is not a lot, Tony. Whereas Texas Tech, I have them at 28. While we have a new kicker, I don't think we're kicking a field goal this week. Or at least we're not making a field goal. So while Texas Tech, at time of recording, is a slight home favorite, 1.5 points, give me Texas Tech by a touchdown, 28-21.
I can't believe it. I can't believe that's what you're doing. You're going with the Baylor Bears to lose their first game in Lubbock since what?
2008. Which is the game that Harrell shattered his hand in the first half, came back, his throwing hand, came back, played the rest of the game. Ended up coming back from a deficit to RG3, a week after losing to Oklahoma and Norman to finish out your season 11-1.
Yeah. I went to that game, me and about 17 other people.
I was there too.
Hey, what are the odds?
Pretty good for 2007, 2008, I guess.
I could see your scenario playing out. I really could. But I'm going the other way this week. I'm kind of sticking with the same thing. I'm hammering the under, basically. I think our point total is within
both
three. This defense worries me just enough that
they're missing their leading tackler, though. The Big 12's leading tackler, Michael.
Well, sure, but I've seen enough scheming questions that sometimes this offense refuses to take what's given to them and has decided on a Sunday afternoon meeting the week before that this is how they're going to play the game.
On Sunday meeting, we've decided we're going to throw this screen pass.
Yes, and that this player is still healthy, so we've got to plan like he's going to be there. And then they show up on Saturday and realize he's not, and they just still run the same game plan. Anyway, don't mean to disparage too much there, but all that said and done, I think Baylor's going to come away with a win here. I've got them winning 27-24. That does have Tech making a field goal. We'll see.
Or
I have some hope.
Or missing four extra points. Which one's more likely?
Making a field goal is more likely because I hope that after the second missed extra point, they would just go for two. Which I guess they could. They could miss the twos.
Yeah, you could have two missed extra points and then two failed 2-point conversions.
Yeah, that's fail. That's fair.
That is a fail. Anyway, that's a big fail.
Yeah, I've got Baylor winning 27-24. Hope I'm wrong, but we will see. This is definitely not the Baylor team I thought we would be seeing at this point in the season, just based off of their success last year. I didn't expect them to be 11, an 11-win team either. Although 11 wins are impossible this year well, practically, but anyway, y'all know what I mean. So I think we're going to give up a close one.
All right. With that, let's get to your questions because there were a lot of them.
Now, are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Who's in the box? What's in the box?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Damn it. Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
You sent out the tweet this week. You actually retweeted the LA Times. A major player in the podcasting industry is at a crossroads.
You
said, we welcome your questions and comments. Well, Tech finished 2-1. Is number 14 too low for Tech basketball? Our man Alan Corbin.
No one answered that.
No. Alan Corbin sent his own question, and then that's when all the interaction came. He asked, if Texas Tech football were a breakfast food item, what would they be? Do you want to answer these like ourselves first and then go through, or do you want to just read what we were told?
You know, I didn't even prepare an answer for this because there were so many good ones.
All right. So Steve-O, powdered eggs.
You ever had powdered eggs?
I have.
I don't think I've had. I've had the instant eggs that are the liquid ones that are in the milk carton.
You're right. Okay.
Those aren't bad. They're good camping too.
Yeah. These are so okay. When you have powdered eggs, just imagine like you have scrambled eggs, but they're hard, hard scrambled, like way overcooked. And there's no amount of adjusting the cook time back to not have powdered eggs turn out as like a really hard scrambled egg.
I mean, everybody loves chewy eggs.
It's the worst. Amy Nelson says they would be a 5-day-old breakfast burrito / taco, whatever your philosophical bent is, found in a parking lot. 5-day-old breakfast burrito.
I do really appreciate that Amy did the burrito / taco because she knows she knows where we lie on this. Oh, gosh. Can you imagine that?
It's going to have a smell to it. The tortilla is going to be crispy, all dried out, crunchy.
Could be some varmints involved. It may not be a fully intact taco or burrito.
Yeah.
It's partially missing.
One of those things like you see it and you're like, you immediately know what it is. You don't want to look back at it. You know it's terrible.
And this thing's seen better days.
Yeah. Just my two cents. Big fan of that name. Cookie Crisp. Which I think is an underrated cereal. I may disagree with him here.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you think it's going to be good. You know, you kind of remember them being good, but then you sit down to a bowl of them and 3 bites later, they taste like crap. You swear you'll never buy them again. Then a year later, you're right back at it. That's what I said about Texas Tech as candy corn.
Yes, we did Halloween
candy.
Or Rob did Halloween candies for all of them. Yeah, I'm not that familiar with Cookie Crisp, so I'll have to take his 2 cents on that one.
They're just mini chocolate chip cookies. But you're right. Like, my memory is probably a lot more favorable than actual reality.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying that that is almost a fact with all kids' cereals.
Yeah. A. Rubio says mom's Tupperware cereal mix. I'm not even sure what that is. It's what he says. Not sure what it is or what you're getting each time.
That is definitely my mom. I don't know what it is, but the last 10 years or so, I don't know if she's ever made the same dish twice the same way. Seems like every time it's something, well, I threw a little this in there and I did this and I did that. And it's like, mom, there's filberts in here. Oh yeah. Well, you know, they had filberts on sale.
Cottage cheese and grapefruit.
Oh, see, I disagree with that one. I get where you're going because you don't like it and you don't enjoy them, but those are at least good for you.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure Tech football is good for you.
I don't like grapefruit. Like it's too bitter. Like I can't do it. I've tried like
so acidic, very acidic.
I've tried like just covering them in sugar. It's like, well, what's the point? Yeah. Cottage cheese is good with like cut up vegetables in it.
A little hot sauce on your cottage cheese next time.
Or, if you want to replace the ricotta in your lasagna with cottage cheese. which is the white trash equivalent there. Chris Hill says, you know how Cap'n Crunch tears up the inside of your mouth? We'll replace the good tasting part that makes it worth it with something not so good tasting. And you have Tech football pain and a bad taste in your mouth.
That one really made me laugh, Chris.
It was.
It's because it does. I never really noticed it as a kid or anything, but every now and then we've gotten those, like it'd be in some random, sometimes when you get Walmart delivery, they'll have these random little gift bags. And I swear that they've had the Cap'n Crunch bars. Have you seen those cereal bars?
No, but I think I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, they're just a breakfast bar, basically. And so I've eaten them thinking, oh, this is going to be so great. And then, yes, it's like shards of glass just in the roof of your mouth.
Shards of, that's good, man. TLR3, off-brand shredded wheat. No milk. Probably a very similar experience. Not a good taste. You're probably, there's, you know, you're not getting like the frosted Wheaties. You're getting the shredded Wheaties, like the healthier side of it. And then with no milk, so it's not softened.
I just can't. I don't know why that made me laugh so hard, because it's, I didn't know the no milk was coming. I think I missed that, because I just pictured someone just sadly diving a spoon into just those. And I'm thinking the shredded wheat, like the old school one, not the shredded wheat minis, but the big ones. They're like half the size of a Pop-Tart or something. And you're just crunching through them. No water, no nothing, just dry. It's like, oh, okay. That I could see that being a West Texas thing. So how West Texas themed.
When you said like the Cap'n Crunch breakfast bar was like shards of glass, this reminds me of like fiberglass.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
Laura Barton Weiss, oatmeal. I disagree. I mean, it's bland, plain. You can mess it up, but there are all, like, you can still get like a really good bowl of oatmeal. So I don't know if you can get a really good Texas Tech this year.
Well, you've just got to add a lot of butter, some cinnamon, maybe some sliced bananas. It'd be fine.
You have to add a lot of stuff to it. Yeah. Justin Robertson, just talking about Wells and Yost, I'll go with Fruit Loops. Sam Wittenberg, cantaloupe. Paul J, rolled oats. Old stale cereal from Jason Grimes. Red Raiders, Eggos. Bill Ashley, stewed prunes. I haven't even heard of that.
Once again, that goes back to, I think those are good for you, so that might eliminate it from the list, but they also make you go to the bathroom. Does Texas Tech football make you do that? It might. It gets your stomach worked up. I'll say that.
Speaking of that, the very last one I have is a box of cereal that's obviously been Photoshopped that says colon blow.
Oh, well, okay. Check it out. I've got to look this up, because they included a photo, like you said, and that's Phil Hartman from Saturday Night Live. So it's got to be one of those fake.
Oh, like a skit.
Saturday Night Live commercials. And I need to look up the colon blow fake commercial. That's a good one, Jeff.
Colon blow. Rob Rowe asks, if you could switch coordinators with anyone in the Big 12, who would you trade for and why?
Well, if you're asking me, does Lincoln Riley count? Is he on the trade block?
Is he a coordinator? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, he calls the plays.
Yeah, but he's the head coach.
Nope. In my world, he's the coordinator. So we could trade Yost and Patterson for Riley and Grinch. Is that right?
Oh, you just want to straight up swap with OU.
Yeah, I thought that was what he meant. But either way, somehow if Tech got Riley, that'd be good. I really don't know if Grinch would be an upgrade. What do you think?
I don't know if I would take Grinch. I didn't read it the same way and say, you know, you can only take a coordinator from one school. I would take the defensive coordinator from Iowa State, Haycock. And
hey, what now?
Isn't that his name?
I don't know.
Yeah. Haycock. Speaking of, hold on, Rick.
Oh boy.
I saw this meme this week and I legit died laughing. I don't even remember where I saw it from. Oh no, it was Keith in the Slack chat. You've seen it with the bag of frozen peas. And you have two pictures of the bag of peas, and one just says peas, which you know obviously it's packaging. And then it says taste the pea. Ness, like the essence of pea.
The essence of pea.
Like, you know, anyways.
Yeah, you got to be careful how you say that, because if someone grabs that, that's going to be my ringtone. Just for you sure. Saying that.
But what makes it even better is the bottom half of the meme. And I don't know where it's from, but it's a anime, not anime, but like a drawn woman. And there's like there's two frames of her face. One's like a normal shot of her face, and then one's like zoomed in on like her mask area, like, you know, nose and eyebrows. On the zoomed out one, it says "the" across her face, and the zoomed in one says "what." The what? Anyways, yeah, okay. So Trevor Nelson, back to the question. He said he would trade with Texas just so they would be terrible. So he would send our coordinators to Texas to sabotage the Longhorns.
Not a bad strategy. And Brian Don Carlos agrees with you with Haycock at Iowa State.
Yeah. West Texas is best Texas at Rec'em time. I'm a big fan of that handle. We can keep KP. Give me Zach Kittley. I don't know if I would take Kittley. I don't want another coordinator in the Big 12. Yeah, I think
people are forgetting that technically Lincoln Riley may qualify in this hypothetical, and that's why I'm taking it.
Well, is that like saying Gary Patterson would be also available?
Well, I don't want Gary Patterson, though.
Defensive coordinator?
That's the difference.
All right.
He could stay in Fort Worth.
Stay in Fort Worth. What else? Brian Don Carlos asked, what is a lived life experience of yours that is the equivalent of kicking a field goal on second down? Second and four, down by two scores with over 3 minutes left on the clock. He says, one time I ran an errand downtown, passing multiple gas stations when my gas light was on, ran out of gas during rush hour. Middle of the lane on a downtown street. So like he was stuck. Yeah, that one had to be just like humiliating, just like to sit there or to try to get out and push. But in rush hour, you're gonna slow everybody else down as you're trying to get out of the way.
Well, I do have one. I have a life experience that is the equivalent of that, or it's close to I can come with. And I'm gonna frame it as in you're doing something with full confidence that you know what you're doing. And then you find out later that you really didn't.
this sounds like it has a good story behind it already.
So, okay. So I, for my mysterious day job, I'm an engineer. So I had to take a lot of math classes in college. I was actually pretty good at it. I never made below an A in my math classes. And so I had friends ask for help. And when they were doing their business, math and business calc and all this other stuff. I had one guy who was kind of an acquaintance. I wasn't super close with him, but he was in a bind. And ethics aside, he requested my assistance on a take-home final.
Whoa.
And so I was like, yeah, how hard can it be, man? It's business calculus. I do regular calculus. I've taken Cal 3. BFD, man, come on over. So anyway, he comes over.
And I love me, it already.
With my
it.
Galaxy brain head, just I felt so confident with everything I worked with him on this test, and it was way different from anything I'd seen. Obviously, I never took a business class, much less a business calc class. And I'm here helping this guy, and I'm thinking like, yeah, you know, derivatives and whatnot, and we got this second order, no problem. Yeah, the dude fails the exam and fails the class.
How bad did you feel?
Pretty bad. I mean, he was an acquaintance, though. So I didn't feel as bad as I probably should have if it was like one of my close buds. But, and also it was like, come on, guy.
It's what you get. It's like,
you're coming to me the night before on your take home exam is due, and I've got exams to study for too. It's like, come on. He may have actually, I'm not know if I'm going to say if he paid me or not, cause I don't remember. And even if he did, I don't know if I should say it. that's my example.
I'm sure I've done something like that before. I have a terrible memory. I can't think of anything, but like, I know I've done something stupid where like I knew 100% of my being that I thought I knew what I was doing and then completely had no idea and didn't realize until later. I know that's happened. I don't have the memory to recall that right now.
Well, we'll have to think about that. You may have to answer that more next week, because I think it's going to turn into a recurring thing. You know, what is your second and four moment?
Second and four.
Second and four. Try Snickers. We need to come up with some sort of ad. We need to take it back. Make it our own.
Yeah. All right. Michael, let's wrap this thing up and get to what did we learn?
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either.
All right, Michael, what did we learn?
I mean, we went so long on those questions and I loved the interaction, guys. So really all I learned is that Red Raiders are passionate about breakfast foods, and that means you're in the right place, because food and sports clash at that goal line, baby.
Yeah,
this is what we're about.
This is what.
And I also learned that Mandalorian season 2 is, it's interesting. It's out there.
I have not seen season 1 yet. And I was all about it when we did the rewatch of all the Star Wars. And because it's been so long, it's like I've lost my drive to go watch it right now.
Oh, hey, I understand. But when you're ready for it, it is going to be ready for you. This is the way, Spencer.
This is the way. Which I'm sure I'll get that reference later. Yeah, the thing that's coming back to me is just second and four. And I don't, what did I learn? I learned that was
maybe a play too early.
Maybe a play too early. One of those things where it's just like, I've never felt that way.
I want to look this up. I should have done this. This is a terrible time to bring it up. I wonder if that was the shortest second down of the day. It might have been the shortest second down of the entire damn day, and we kicked a field goal.
From the 19 or whatever it was.
Well, no, four. Second and four.
No, I know, but like from the 19-yard line or whatever it was.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that most of our second downs were probably like second and eight, second and nine, second seven, whatever. Is there a way you can muster that up? I could see you over there working. The wheels are spinning, guys. Y'all should see the smoke. The smoke is coming right out of these ears. It's a glorious look over there.
No, on their very first drive, they got a second and two.
Should have kicked it.
Oh, but hold on. So they had a play on second and two, but that was when they got the pass interference. So they got second and 17, offensive pass interference. Second and seven.
I vaguely remember that.
Second and 10, second and six. Not a lot of drives in the first or second quarter, so this is not going to take very long. There was a second four in the second quarter. So, not the shortest. Tied for the shortest.
Okay. Well, that's...
They were not...
I had a hunch that it was going to be something like that.
They were not in field goal range when they had that second four in the second quarter, though.
Oh, well, that took that off the board.
Yeah. They were on the wrong side of the field. They're on, like, Texas Tech's... They're on, like, on their own 30 or something. Second six. Second 10. Second 10. Second four, field goal attempt. And... Yeah, you had second and four twice in the game. You kicked on one of them. There was also that meme that I saw that I think Keith posted, but I saw it on several of the Facebook groups. It was a picture of Matt Wells on the sideline, and it said first and goal, punts.
Well, I think I even made that joke during when Tech got the ball back after Duggan's 80-yard run. Like, okay, let's just punt it.
Just go ahead and punt the ball.
Perfect time for a punt.
All right, so Baylor's coming to town this weekend. We are split. I think Texas Tech could pull off a touchdown or so victory, 28-21. Michael's going with a narrow defeat to the Bears.
I don't like it either, guys.
If you're in town and want to catch Rob Bro and myself on Ryan Heights Raiderland, Wednesday 11 to 1, will also be Michael and I will be on Rob Bro's College Tailgate Show Saturday 10 to noon on KKAM Talk 1340. For Michael, I'm Spencer. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast and sharing our fandom for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. You can connect with us on Twitter at 23 Personnel, Spencer at Puntsuck, and Michael at Michael_LBK. And find even more great content over on stakingtheplains.com. Help us out by rating the show and leaving a review on iTunes and subscribe on whatever channel you listen to podcasts. Remember to tell your friends about the show. The guys will be back next week with another episode. And until then, guns up and let the tortillas fly.